Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to learn the halachas that relate to monetary claims and testimony. This is Simon Kuf Pei Aleph 181 in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and it's part one of the two-part series. We're going to look at four concepts today, and that is settling disputes, honest conduct in litigation, taking the law into one's own hand, and appointment of judges and a beis din. Let's jump straight in. Now, obviously, these halachas are exceptionally complicated, and there's so much to talk about. We're going to be just scratching the surface, but this is going to be an opportunity to stimulate more questions, to think about these things in a more serious way, because so many people are clueless when it comes to this. Let's jump straight in. Settling disputes. What is the preferred way to resolve a dispute between two Jews? The answer is they should try to reach a compromise, with each side yielding somewhat to avoid the humiliation of a court case. Zilusa de Bay Dinner. This is seen as the best thing to do is compromise. Figure out a solution without it becoming more serious. When the parties cannot reach a compromise, what must they do next? So they must bring their case to the Jewish court of law, which is called the Beis Din, and it is forbidden to go to secular courts. What if both parties agree or have a written contract to go to secular court? In that case, it's not allowed even upon mutual agreements. This is the halacha. One may not go to a secular court before exhausting the options of Beis Din. So what is the status of somebody who brings a case to a secular court? That person is considered an evil person, and as if he insulted or rebelled against the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, indicating that the Torah of secular society, the law of secular society is more important than the Torah itself. Can one use non-Jews to force someone to come to Beis Din? The answer is no. That is forbidden and is a very serious concern. One is not allowed to use even the secular court system itself to force people to go to Beis Din. What if the defendant won't come to Beis Din? So let's say the person is losing money, has lost money, wants to settle it in Beis Din. The other person refuses, ignores Beis Din, doesn't really care. In that case, the Beis Din will issue what's called a heter arkos. Well, if the other person refuses to come, they'll issue a seiruv after three invitations to court. And then a seiruv is the contempt of court. And then they will allow the claimant to have a heter arkos to go to secular court to pursue the case further. Is it acceptable to use arbitrators instead of Beis Din? The Kitzur Paskins, yes. Parties may appoint arbitrators with or without Beis Din, and this is proper and a just. He says it's an appropriate method, provided the compromise is fair and the way it is set up is correct as well. It's worthwhile noting the Kitzur does not discuss this, but it is important to know that the situation that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was talking about, which was the situation for most of Jewish history, was when there was one court. There was one Beis Din in a particular town, and the way it would work is that it was a centralized leadership situation. So when people had a dispute, they would go to the Beis Din of their town, and that Beis Din would force both the litigants to come to Beis Din. They would issue their psak, which was abided by both sides. It's much more complicated in the landscape in certain places, certainly in America, as an example, where there's not one centralized Beis Din, where there are many, many different batei dinim, and everybody who decides they want to put up a shingle can go and create a Beis Din. Becomes complicated because then a person may say, I don't want to go to this Beis Din, I want to go to a different Beis Din, and that is a valid claim, and halacha person is allowed to say, I don't want to go to this particular Beis Din. But then they do have to ensure that they get to some form of Beis Din. This could be what's called a zablo. Where each of the sides appoint a judge, a dayan, and the two dayanim themselves then appoint a third, and they create a makeshift Beis Din as well. The difficulty is that in today's day and age, unfortunately, in certain circles, in certain places, it has become more of a game about who one brings a toyin with and paying this person to be a toyin and this person to be a dayan, and it can turn into a circus, and unfortunately with bad results. So it's important to seek out reputable batei dinim, which there are many reputable batei dinim, and to work in such a way and work through the process in halacha, because unfortunately those who don't use reputable batei dinim and those who go through complicated and less reputable Enterprises, unfortunately, cause a tremendous amount of chilul Hashem, not just in the judgment issued, but in the trust in the Beis Din system itself. We move into our second concept, and that is honest conduct in litigation. May one deny a legitimate debt in court in order to pressurize the other side to compromise a little bit? That is completely unacceptable. It's forbidden to evade a valid debt in order to force a compromise. And even if a person does do this, they have not going to absolve themselves from the sake of heaven, then they will have that debt to deal with in the future. Is it allowed to present your case before the judge to the judge before the other party arrives? That is forbidden. A litigant may not present any of the claims until the person on the other side is there, to avoid suspicion and unfairness as well. Unfortunately, again, this is something which happens a lot today, is that when the claimant on one side wants to impress upon the judge how important the case is, and they'll have a conversation before the court case, that is completely unacceptable, because then the judge already is biased towards one side, having heard one side without the other side being able to respond. They've already, their view is skewed. This is very important not to be a biased judge when it comes to this. Is it ever allowed to offer or accept bribes? So a judge is not allowed to accept a bribe, and a person is not allowed to proffer a bribe. It's an issur both on the receiver and the giver of the bribe. Is it allowed to present a false plea even if the end goals are just? So this is never allowed, not even if it's a valid claim, because the Torah says, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. The Kitzur quotes a brisa in the Gemara, which describes, he gives three cases. Minayin Anoshe B'chaveiro, a person who is crediting, who lends out 100, and Shelo Yomar Et Enu B'mosayim Kedei She Yoideli B'mone. Maybe I'll claim 200 in the court case so that he will compromise by owing me, saying he'll give me 100, which is what he actually owes me. And he'll get me a shvua, and I'll push the shvua onto him. Mimakom acher, so you're not allowed to do that. Meaning, even if in the end of the day you're getting the money that you deserved, but you're leveraging it in a way that brings him to pay it up through the compromise, that is unacceptable as well. Similarly, minayin anoshe b'chaveiro mone utalam mamasayim. So you lend out 100, and you claim. You claim 200. You know what? I'm going to deny the claim in Beis Din, come out scot-free, and I'll pay him outside Beis Din so I shouldn't have to worry about taking a shvua. You're not allowed to do that. Even though in the end you're paying him back the money, that's midvar sheker tirchak. And the Kitzur sets up many situations based on this brisa where in the end I'm paying up the money, but the way I'm doing it is a way which avoids due process that is unacceptable and not allowed. Move to the third concept, taking the law into one's own hands. When is one allowed to take the law into one's own hands to reclaim property? This is only if another person stole an item, and that item is in the other person's possession, and one cannot reclaim it otherwise, then a person may retake it even with force. This does not apply to financial disputes, about money in dispute, about situations. No, there's a due process for that. But if somebody took your bicycle and you see it in their backyard, and it's going to be a very long and difficult process to even prove this, you're allowed to do this as well. There is one condition of this, and that is it can only be done if there's no witnesses. If there are witnesses, you need to be able to have real proof that it actually is yours. We move to our fourth and last concept here, and that is appointment of judges in a Beis Din. This is the responsibility of every city to have their own Beis Din. What qualities must a judge possess? So the Kitzur says, goes through a whole list. It has to have Torah, wisdom, chokhmah, humility, fear of God, hatred of money, love of truth, has favor among other people, and a good reputation and good deeds. Those are the basic qualifications. What is the prohibition against appointing an unqualified judge? So if a city appoints a judge who is, let's say, a wealthy relative or somebody who's connected to them, that they have violated lo sakiru ponim v'mishpat, showing favor in justice by appointing such a person. How should people relate to a judge appointed through bribery or nepotism? So in this case, one does not have the responsibility of standing when they enter the room, and showing them honor, because and the Kitzur is pretty sharp around here, where he says that do not make yourselves gods or judges of silver or gold. These are not considered real judges. What should a community do if there are no properly qualified judges? So in this case, the Kitzur points out they should appoint the best and wisest among themselves as judges, even if they are not formally qualified, to avoid the need for secular court. So a community needs to establish its own Beis Din to avoid the disputes going to secular court. Can someone disqualify such locally accepted judges? The answer is no. Once the community gets together and accepts a judge, so the consensus of the city, no one can disqualify them, and they must act. They have to act in the way that's for the sake of heaven. This is quite a common way people say it's not good enough. This person doesn't know enough. If the city has accepted them and they're honest people acting in the for the sake of heaven, that is sufficient to qualify them, and no one has the right to disqualify them. With this, we conclude. Have a wonderful, meaningful day. We'll get to part two tomorrow.